So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight. Oh.
Listen to Review Man.
F that. If Brett doesn't want to do business, then we need to do business for him.
Sean sees the opening. Oh,
man, what a shot to the bank.
What? What is this?
Michaels is going to try and beat Bret Hart with a sharpshooter. Yes, he is.
Welcome to Review Away. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting coming at you. Wei Ting, what are you drinking? Apple juice.
I'm drinking an apple juice, yes.
I was worried about you. You were very under the weather this past weekend.
Holy shit, I was.
What happened? Because I saw you on Friday, and you were feeling it Friday. I could tell you were not in good spirits.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Maybe just last week I just kind of overexerted myself.
You've been doing a lot of traveling of late, Wei. You've been on the road. You probably have been eating really shitty. It's probably all catching up to you. I find when I travel a lot, it's like my body starts to really feel it.
Yeah, we also had a big shoot on Wednesday, the whole crew at Agency Wars.
Almost all of us.
Yeah, except you. I think it just caught up to me on that specific day, and we had to stay behind, actually, to play this video game that we're about to review.
Is that the reason you came in on Friday?
Well, it was one of the reasons. I think another reason was because I didn't think I would get sick, but nonetheless, I did get really sick, and let me just tell you, that drive home during rush hour Friday,
oh, God.
Back to Scarborough, my trips are usually about like an hour long, driving even.
I'm about comparable.
Yes, I was just like, oh man. By the time I left, my face was just like cramping. My fingers were cramping to the point where like,
holy shit,
almost like claws. I couldn't really like open up my fingers. I don't know what the fuck was happening. I was feeling like, you know,
this sounds worse than anything I've ever discussed on this show about blackouts and stuff. Well, like, wait, this sounds like
it was
like an early sign of a stroke or something.
I don't know what it was. It was like, and then
were you like sweating or?
Yeah, I think I was getting kind of like, you know, like, yeah, like a varied temperatures within my body. It got to the point where I was like, fuck this. I can't make it home like this. So I just like, I pulled up into a gas station and I napped for like half an hour. But it didn't really help that much because, like, I'm out here in the cold. And, you know, to nap in the cold is not the best thing for your
I guess
body
not.
When it's
did
sick,
you have
right?
the heat on in your car?
Yeah, I did. But, like, I don't know. I think I'm just weird. I worry about the environment. And I worry
oh,
about,
my God. What about your environment?
About idling and too long. So eventually after a half hour, I just decided to bear it. It was like at 5:30. I was still in the thick of rush hour, and goddamn, it was the worst ride of my life. And eventually I got home and I just headed straight to bed. I left all my shit in my car and basically just tossed all my shit on the floor. I was like, fuck this. I'm out.
I've always been stubborn when I'm driving and it's like, I know I should pull over, but I just like, want to soldier through and just make it to my destination, but it's something that that's such a stupid idea.
It absolutely is. It's much in many ways. It's worse than, you know, drinking while after you've had maybe one or two beers. It's or just as bad. I shouldn't say worse, but it's just as bad. And I think I recommend that you, myself, and anybody listening, if you are
always
feeling
over.
Tired, pull over because you're doing everybody a favor.
Yeah, well, that's a great
PSA.
Public service announcement from Wei Ting and John Pollock. Well, my Friday night, Wei, I forgot to tell you this on Monday, was went out with Jason Agnew, our friends Justin Terry, Rob Scott, and we were out, made our way to Tattoo Rock Parlor that night, and all of a sudden, I'm on the dance floor having a drink, and the DJ goes, John Pollock has gotten engaged. Best in the world, the DJ goes. And then he's also like, Jason Agnew's also here in the house, and Wei Ting better be here as well. And it was our DJ friend that I told you about that after the infamous the brawl at Tattoo, right, who contacted me, John Celebri, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, of a... always corresponded with him by email, listens to the show regularly, and got to meet him on Friday. It was so loud, I could barely hear him, but I wanted to say thank you to him for this big shout-out. It was really cool.
Best in the world.
And I laughed uproariously when he's like, and Wei Ting better be here as well. Wei Ting was not. Wei Ting was dead at home. But there you are, Wei, getting shout-outs to a packed Tattoo Rock Parlor while you're at home. A real, real celebrity you are.
And there you are, John, with a private moment in your life that you didn't want anybody to talk about. All of a sudden,
everybody knows.
It's being broadcast on the radio, on the national airwaves, as well as inside Tattoo Rock Parlor.
Well, there was really... there was no medium road, I found, because, you know, this is obviously a very...
Oh, 1 week ago, we were recording Reveal Raw, and then, you know, I didn't know about this, and then after we stopped recording, John goes, I haven't told anybody yet, Wei, so just keep this between you and me. I've only told my parents so far, but...
I told you before I told my dad and my sister. Only my mom had been... I had only told my mom. So that way you are in the hierarchy.
So
and
it's your mom, it's I guess it's your fiance now, and then your mom, and then it's me. All right, well.
You're in elite company, Wei. And actually, I told Agnew on the Tuesday night, and he thought he was the last to know. He's like, I bet everyone knows but me. And actually, Agnew was like... I had just come from my parents, so he was like, outside of the family, it was you, and then it was Agnew.
But John,
actually, I texted Justin right before I met up with Agnew, so Justin found out via text.
Well, my whole point was John at that time was like, I appreciate this if you kept this to yourself, if you didn't tell anybody. You know, I don't want to make a big deal out of it. not a week later.
The law community is well aware of it. Well, it was, here's my thinking. It was, first of all, I was very hesitant to tell anybody, and it like gets posted on Facebook because my sister would like kick my ass if she read this on Facebook and I hadn't told her. Mm. So I didn't want someone to post something like, congrats on your engagement. And then my sister sees it on Facebook or something. So I just want to make sure my sister
Why wouldn't you just tell your sister at the same time you told all your...
Well, I had called and I was going to tell my sister, but she wasn't home. It was just my mom. Okay. And I knew I was coming by on the Tuesday night. So I was like, I don't want to just relay this message.
So instead, what did you decide to do?
I went home on the Tuesday, and I told my sister and my dad in person.
Oh, okay.
But you had I had told you on the Monday.
Right.
And then Tuesday, I just played dumb here at work and didn't tell anybody.
And then you went and told the public.
Well, that was it. It was just by, like, Wednesday, I was like, okay, I've told all the people that I'm close with, and I don't really want to go through telling every single person and, like, oh, what's new? And it's like, oh, do I tell this story? So I went. And I made my post on Facebook, and I'm like, this will just carpet bomb everybody. And the people that need to know, they will know. I was not expecting this tidal wave of response and it then being broadcast everywhere. It's weird. It's like everybody
knows. You know what?
Well, whatever. It's an open book.
Royalty.
There you go. So I think, Wei, your next life milestone, you are obligated to share it.
Okay.
Whether it's you getting a woman pregnant or a life-threatening illness.
Wow.
You have got to share it with us.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Well, I hope you do better with the former than the latter. No one wants to lose you.
So instead you hope that I
get a young Wei Ting. That would be great. Way Jr. Then we could actually have a child watching John Cena promos.
Wow, okay.
Which we did get quite some feedback
to. A lot of feedback to our question.
Quite a few listeners quiz their children or young kids, and the majority don't find John Cena funny in the least.
Yeah, yeah. The majority. The majority.
Exactly what I had thought.
Although we do have to be skeptical with the types of parents that are raising these children. What type of parent would listen to this podcast?
I don't know. I think this is a very fun podcast to listen to.
I'm joking. Why not? You're all good parents.
All right. On today's program, Way, we've got a guest. We're going to be joined by Brian Williams from THQ, the senior designer for the WWE 13 video game, which came out at the end of October. And they were good enough to send us a bunch of copies of the game for PS3. And the review copy we got was for Xbox 360. So that is the platform we tested this game out on. But we are going to be giving away the WWE 13 game. I know we're going to give one away on the December 23rd edition of The Law, which is our annual best of show. So we figure, why not give away probably the best prize of the year on that show? And that leaves us two copies, Way, to play with. So we've got to think of a really great contest.
Okay.
To give away. Have you given any thought to this?
I actually completely forgot about it.
Oh.
I was too busy playing the game itself, John.
You were sick all weekend and played this game, which is great.
I decided to take the Xbox home and play it because, I mean, we spent about maybe like half an hour with it here over on Friday, and I was not in the state to really accurately judge my perspective.
First of all, on the Friday, not just being sick, but we were doing this like video review as well that will be up, I believe, later this week of me and Way playing this game as Way puts on his winter jacket here in my office / studio. It is cold in here. It's it is cold.
I got my parka on
year round. So anyway, Friday we're getting set to do this, and we're setting up our studio, hooking up the Xbox 360, and setting
gonna
up the cameras.
There's going to be a video supplement, I suppose.
I think it'll be out later this week. I hope.
Put on by the Fight Network, so it won't just be in a dingy studio.
There'll be lights and heat. And so we sit on this couch, and we get mic'd, and we proceeded to sit there for an hour and a half waiting for this gaming to go on and to
waiting
play
for
this game.
Waiting for the shoot to begin. As as I'm sure a lot of people, anyone who's been on a movie set can attest to, there's a lot of hurry up and wait, as they say.
Yeah, and it's funny because, one of our listeners, Dez, who does his own podcast, he emailed me a week ago, and he was writing a paper on, I think for a broadcasting or journalism class, and he asked me, just if you could give me a quick quote, Pollock, of what you love most about radio and what you hate most about radio. And I said about, in terms of what I enjoy the most about it, is the fact that it is so immediate, and it's simply I turn the button on and you and I can just go. And with TV, my God, is it slow.
Well, yes, I'm usually on the other side, so for once I experienced what you were going through. But usually being on the other side, there's just so much more involved. There's so many more people involved when you're dealing with the TV. You're dealing with audio and visual here, and these cameras and the lighting and everything is just so complicated, and every little detail matters so much that everything just so many things can go wrong. And there's so many things to be mindful of. And, that's probably what we were subjected to.
Yep. We just sat there and sat there and sat there.
As I got progressively.
We could have done this podcast during that time.
That's true, without having played the game.
That's true.
But as I got progressively more ill at that time. So what were your thoughts initially playing in that 30-minute stretch?
Well, I am going to preface this review. I feel very underprepared. I'm going to heavily lean on your Ric Flair to my Lex Luger, maybe even El Gigante in this review. I played this game for a half hour, and that's all I got to play. I don't own an Xbox. I don't own a PS3 or anything, so I did not get to play this weekend. Waiting, I'm going to heavily lean upon. So I have a half hour window here to comment on this game.
Yeah.
And we played a bunch of the different gimmick matches. We did an Inferno match. We did a Hell in a Cell match. We did... Was there another one we did?
I think that might have been it. As
actually,
as
we went to play a TLC match, and then they wrapped us saying, "No, we've got everything we need." Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then we started a little on Attitude Era mode, yeah. And neither of us got past stage one.
Yeah, we played like a Sin Cara match in there at some point.
With the lights, too. The lighting.
With the lights are there. And let me preface this too by saying that if you're checking this podcast out for a in-depth video game critique, like Game
Pro.
There's
a lot of great podcasts out there.
Game Pro still exist?
I would love to answer that question.
Whatever. I go to IGN, go to reviews on the run.
I know that Nintendo Power is closing up shop, aren't they?
I think they're gone.
Yeah.
This is not it. When you're listening to this podcast, you're basically listening to the opinions of two people who probably haven't played video games in 10 years. 10 plus years. What was the last wrestling video game that you really enjoyed?
It would have to have been No Mercy back in 2000 that came out.
Classic.
Yeah, that was, again, a THQ game. And people rave about No Mercy, and it was a really great game. But to me, World Tour, it just has such a special place in my heart. Like, when I think Nintendo 64, I think that game, and I just think of, like, one of the most enjoyable and yet antisocial 2 weeks of my life when me and my brother got that for Christmas, and we literally packed up our shit from our rooms, and we designed our basement into, like, we just lived in this basement for, like, the entire Christmas holiday break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the couch was a pullout where we slept to wake up and play World Tour all day long. I would have been 13 when I got this game. It was just the greatest game I've ever played, because it was like going, this is a better description, going from World Tour to Revenge, or Revenge to no Mercy. To me, that's going from like a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 to maybe an 8.
Mm.
Whereas World Tour, my previous wrestling gaming games that I had, that was going from like a 1 to a 7.
What were the previous games?
Oh, I had Royal Rumble on Sega Genesis.
Oh, God.
There was it Steel Cage on the original Nintendo? Like, nothing. Like, you're talking like these 8-bit games that were just
shit.
I mean, Royal Rumble was like a big jump for me. And watching that, it was like, man, you didn't have entrances. You had like fucking 10 guys to probably pick from.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels' finisher was a back suplex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just the most basic game ever. And then suddenly you get World Tour.
Uh-huh.
And this game was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What about you?
Well, I never had an N64. I played the what many people considered it to be the inferior PlayStation counterpart to No Mercy at the time, and that was SmackDown, the SmackDown series.
Yes.
Which I believe was THQ at the time, and I think we'll have to ask Brian about this, but I think part of the engine is still exists in the current like in this game.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure, but I played SmackDown 2. I was so into wrestling at the time, and I was also into like downloading like foreign what they call ROMs, and so I would download the Japanese versions that these video games were based on too. So there's this game called Toucan Tsuden that was like the New Japan Pro Wrestling video game. And I played that too, and it was awesome because you could play like, you know, Black Tiger with Eddie Guerrero. I think Chris Benoit was in that game. So like I played all those games to death. I made like, you know, my characters and everything. So I played those games a lot. I never got a PS2, so that was pretty much where I left off.
Yeah, so that was I never got into PlayStation or anything like that. It was N64, and then I really never graduated to the next stage of gaming devices. But
yeah, life caught up with us, I guess.
Maybe, or we left video games behind, unfortunately. Yeah. And there's a part of us that is just not fulfilled.
Now look at you. You're about to get married. You're playing video games again.
Yeah, what a changing cycle. I have a feeling that if I had enough time, I would love to play video games. Like, whoa. I would get addicted to video games. And yeah. I actually have a Nintendo Wii. Actually, I've gotten rid of it now. But I never got into it just with the controls. And I don't have the patience to sit down and learn a new system. And I also know in the back of my head that if I invested this time in learning to play a new system and getting into it, I don't think I'd have... I would just get into it too much. Like, I just don't think I would have the time to dedicate to video games. And I'm just not willing to dedicate time to video games.
Well, let me just tell you. Playing this video game over this weekend reminded me exactly of that fact. Because I sat down with this game Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. I didn't leave until 3 a.m.
Wow.
I played this thing for 12 fucking hours. And it's addictive, man. At some point in, like, maybe the 3-hour mark, I felt like, you know, I felt like all the signs of what used to happen to me. My eyes started to dry up. I started to become a dick to other people in my family. just leave me alone. I'm going to. I'll do it later. I gotta complete this objective. There's no way. I cannot own a video game system.
I love it. I'm working. God damn it.
This is for work. Yeah, actually, now I can.
Okay, the ultimate question: did you bring back the Xbox to work today, or is it still at home?
It's still at home.
Oh shit! You are.
I got a vacation.
Like
coming
an alcoholic
up.
That just walks past the bar and just the smell of Farley brings him in.
I've got half the Attitude Era mode left.
Oh
to
wow!
Finish.
Okay, well let's start off then with kind of the overall big picture look here. And
all right.
Attitude Era mode seems to be the real calling card of this particular game. Paul Heyman was involved kind of in a lot of the storytelling here. And why don't you describe Attitude Era mode for those that maybe have not played the game or familiar with
it? Well, let me just say again, as somebody who's kind of been away from the past 10 years of video game development as it relates to, I guess, story mode, I mean, what I last played was back in SmackDown 2. Jesus Christ, this story mode was so bad. All the cutscenes were repetitive. They were basically the Undertaker has forced to grab the has driven a car into the Undertaker. Oh no! Like, and it was the same music every single time, just with different faces. It would take like about a minute to load for these 30-second things. It was hell. And so, playing this, it was like not owning a computer for the past 10 years and then suddenly upgrading and finding all this new technology. Because this Attitude Era, it seems like they've replaced their, in previous incarnations, I guess it would have been the road to WrestleMania. This year, they decided to completely change it seems. And instead of, playing through the current roster, showcasing what many wrestling fans considered to be the prime of the past 20 years of pro wrestling, and that is the Attitude Era. And
this is the most romanticized period for any current wrestling fans, and is the Attitude Era.
And I would say at about this point, the WWE seems to have embraced that more so than they have over the past since the Attitude Era, I suppose.
In 15 years, in 2027, are there going to be a fan base that are like clamoring for
no
the John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista era?
No, of course not. I mean,
maybe you don't know.
Well, but okay, fine. You think back to the period. Okay, what about 92? Is there, back in 2007, was there a period where there were people clamoring, oh, I wish, Duke the
one. The Papa Shango, angle with Ultimate Warrior, yeah, where he has a hernia and vomits on a man.
Was there a Bob Sparky Plug downloadable character in the 2007 video game? I don't think so.
No, there should be. It should be. Do you think, we'll ask Brian this because this was brought up by one of the people asking questions. But this is a great, like this, obviously you're setting the bar high with a very successful period in the Attitude Era. But this does leave you the option for future games of like different, you know, iconic periods in wrestling that you could go to. I mean, like, you know, the NWO period in 97, 98. I mean, there's lots of different directions you could go, I think, from a marketing standpoint that, you know, nostalgia always can sell that first time you market it really well. And fans, especially when it comes to stuff like a video game, I think nostalgia can work really, really well if you have that right kind of a period of time. And this is something that maybe they look at in the future as an idea, as a segment of the game that's dedicated to a certain time period.
Absolutely. From all reviews that I've read, it seems like everybody's very high up on this Attitude Era, and I certainly am. So let's get into it. It's basically a storyline mode that's divided into chapters. You start off, there are various chapters, starting off with the birth of DX, and so you're playing as either Shawn Michaels or DX through their storylines. How it basically works is you start off from the very first episode. I don't even know if you remember this, John, but the first match where Shawn and Hunter kind of tease a relationship.
Yep.
This was Shawn versus Mankind. Was it an episode of Raw?
Yeah, it was an episode of Raw. It would have been, I think it's August 97.
Okay, and then Triple H comes out at one point, and I guess he cheats the win. So basically, you're put into the match as Shawn Michaels taking on Mankind. Your objective is to, first of all, defeat Mankind, and I think they have these things called historical objectives where you're supposed to mimic events that actually happen in the match itself in real life. And I don't remember what that specific objective was, but it was something like...
You had to hit Mankind with a chair.
Hit Mankind with a chair. There you go. And so you're supposed to pick a chair up from the ring, hit Mankind with the chair. You don't necessarily have to pin him after hitting the chair, but just make sure you hit him with the chair and then win the match. And then you proceed on to the next one. And then so you go through this whole series of events, and they're intercut by the actual video recaps that were used throughout. I guess we'll ask Brian about this too. I'm not sure whether or not they specifically edited these. I heard that they worked with WWE editors to make these cutscenes as well. But some of them I feel like I've seen on, like, whether it be DVDs or whatnot. We'll have to find out. But they're done very well, of course, you know, working with the WWE's video department. They basically fill in the gaps between the two matches, telling you exactly what happened. And so you work your way up in the DX chapter all the way to Survivor Series 97, where starting off, you're brought into the Bell Center in Montreal, and you're led into the backstage area with a walking camera, and the camera turns into a doorway, and in this doorway, you see the trio of Shawn Michaels, Vince McMahon, and Triple H talking, conspiring backstage, including an audio snippet that sounded way too clean to have. Well, first of all, this would have never been recorded live, so there's no doubt Hunter was brought in to revoice this line. This line saying, if Brett doesn't want to do business, F that. We got to do business for him. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful to play through this as a mark, as a smart mark, really, or just anything. And,
The story behind that is that the story allegedly goes that when they were arguing over the finish the week of, Michaels was proposed the finish of either losing to Brett, and then Brett would eventually drop the title after Survivor Series, and it was Shawn who called Triple H, and Shawn seemed that he would go ahead with the finish, and it was Hunter that talked him out of it, saying, this guy's leaving the territory. You are not losing to this guy. Mm. So taking some creative license here to recreate that.
So very clearly, the people that are creating, in charge of creating this game, know their history very in depth. And I'm of course comparing this to you know SmackDown 2, where the cutscenes were player one has tripped on player two, and like now they will fight.
If this banana peel won't do business, screw it.
Yeah. So your objective in the match now is to play as Shawn Michaels, and you need to apply the sharpshooter onto Bret Hart.
Of course.
In the middle of the match, Vince McMahon walks out. He's just ringside. And then your objective is, as Shawn Michaels, you have to get these things where you have to build your level meter up so that you can do the sharpshooter. And then you do the sharpshooter to Bret. And they make a point of showing that Bret's level meter, energy meter, is still very high.
This is incredible attention to detail.
Yeah. And then you get to a cutscene where Vince calls for the bell. And then Bret spits at Vince. The video game Bret Hart spits at Vince McMahon ringside. And then he does the WCW as the camera, as the show goes off the air. It's just so much fun. I wish we played this back on Friday, because your reaction would have been crazy.
Oh man!
So after that, you move on to the Austin 316 portion, that chapter, and you go through first. You first start off with Austin winning the Rumble of that year.
So you're playing different characters in each chapter.
Yep.
Okay.
As you progress through the years. So then, yeah, so, you know, you go through the whole, Austin, beating Shawn at WrestleMania, and then you go into the rivalry with McMahon, and then after that you get into the a chapter called the Brothers of Destruction, where you play as Taker versus Austin, whatever, Taker versus Kane, such a, there's even a hearse match in here at some point where you have to, drag your opponent into a hearse. Throughout the way,
they include the angle where Undertaker tried to embalm the Undertaker at a morgue?
I don't believe so. I don't think
that's
so.
That's a Raw we should review one day.
Yeah.
It was one of the most ridiculous Raws of all time.
Well, here's the thing that I've discovered while playing this game. It's that the more overbooked an angle was in real life, the more fun it is in the video game. Because a lot of the straight-up matches, they're just like, the objectives are basically to win the match and I don't know, nothing else. Whereas the overbooked ones are like, you gotta do this and you gotta do this running. You gotta distract the ref. You gotta attack the ref. You gotta like, you know, that's the most fun. And a lot of this basically you're given a chance to relive through the Attitude Era as you're playing this video game. And, what I realized was exactly that, just how overbooked so much of this shit was. Like that first, title match between, Austin and Kane, that first blood match.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. The ending of that, I was like, the objective was to,
do you remember what the stip was on that match if Kane lost?
No, what was it?
Kane said, if I don't win the title, I will light myself on fire.
Oh,
that's
God.
Too bad that wasn't the objective in the match.
No, it wasn't. But I had like one objective in the match, and then the rest of the way the match was like played out by cutscene because it was so complex. First you had like I don't know. I forget. You had like Austin do a move of some sort, and then Taker runs in, and then there's Vince, and then there's everything. All of a sudden, there's like somebody's bleeding, and then I forget. Eventually, in the Undertaker chapter, you're taken to the Hell in a Cell with Foley, and of course, the objective here is to throw Mick Foley off the cell through a table.
Which, when we played the Hell in a Cell, I gotta say that was a that was my favorite of the gimmick matches here, because we did a match where you like Irish whip me into the side of the cage breaks, and then you can climb the cell to the top, and I gave you an attitude adjustment off the top of the cell, and then Wasina gave you like a guillotine leg drop off the cell to the floor. And
on the Brodus Clay
was not able to beat you with that. I had to do that twice and then get you into the ring to beat you. It's awesome, very fun. You could also you played another match in the Hell in a Cell where you like choke slam someone through the cell.
Yeah,
I mean the cell breaks fairly easily, which makes for a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, yeah, the way it should be.
Yeah,
the cell should break in every Hell in a Cell match.
Yes, when Ryback hit that shell shock to Punk.
Oh come on.
Yeah,
yeah. So. man, that was just a ton of fun, a lot of fun, and that's about where I stopped. That the 12-hour mark. So
that's like five chapters.
That's three chapters.
That's three chapters.
Yeah, there's
and that
more.
Took you 12 hours.
It's a long
time.
Well,
you can't say that's a negative if that's this takes time to get through this attitude.
Oh, absolutely.
You wouldn't want to blitz through this in 12 hours.
Well, and that's the other thing. That's not the only mode. That's only one portion of this game. There's also the what they call the WWE Universe mode, which is sort of the I haven't really gotten too in-depth into it, but it's more like a layout of schedules where you can take the active roster of the current roster of guys, and they're all put in sort of a random series of matches. And so you know, throughout the week, you have your schedule. You start out with the Raw on Monday. Then you have Superstars, which for some reason is on Thursdays. I guess it's online on Thursdays.
I guess so.
Okay.
I never watch Superstars.
And then there's SmackDown on Friday, and then at the end of every month you have basically if you've ever played a baseball game, it's like a simulation mode, like a season simulation mode.
Okay.
And then you exchange titles in that way, and that's another way for people to unlock characters throughout this whole Attitude Era mode. By the way, you're unlocking guys, so you're unlocking Bret Hart, you're unlocking Davey Boy Smith, you're unlocking
Hardcore Holly.
I don't know if Hardcore Holly's one of them.
No?
No. But, you know, British Bulldog, Road Warriors, different disguises and different outfits for various guys. So that's one mode. You have the WWE Universe mode, like I said. There's also, of course, the exhibition modes and also the creator wrestler and the created arena modes, which are just so in depth. I wouldn't even begin to know where to begin. But I'm sure, like, you know, our listeners, as we've seen, Danny Powers, who's taken some considerable time and effort to create you, myself, Dan, and Jay, including the Law Arena.
Incredible.
You can customize almost every single facet of these games, and I just can't imagine sitting
you
down.
You can adjust the lighting, maybe.
Perhaps. Yeah, very true. But I just took like a quick scroll through. Man, just like the eyelash shape. Of a guy.
Are you kidding me?
Like something ridiculous like that. And, you know, all the way down to what it says on their shirt or what it says on their tights. Attribute, points, move sets. Like, don't even, you know, you can create moves now, create finishers. One of the things I've always liked about, wrestling video games is that they help me really, increase my, I guess, wrestling move vocabulary, because not to say they're all correct, but at least you can recognize a lot of them. And so that was one of my favorite things, was just to scroll through the creative wrestler and to preview all the different moves. And you could see, like, they put, you know, the Twist of Fate in there. They put the Swanton. They put the Styles Clash in there. Even Eat the Feet is in the
Is
in
it
the
called
video.
That?
Yeah, it's called Eat, D-E-F-E-A-T. I don't know if Gail spells it like F-E-E-T. Or whatever.
I think so.
Okay, so then they got away with it. They call the Muscle Buster the Push-Up Buster.
The Push-Up Buster.
Yeah. So basically every wrestling move, Japanese, you know, Mexican, American, it's iconoclasm, anything. It's all there. So that's a lot of fun. There are also downloadable packs that have been released. I believe there are three of them, and so far two of them have been released. The first pack features additions to the Attitude roster, and that includes, I think it includes, like Val Venus and I forget. Somebody will correct me.
Yeah, they just released a few characters, including Ryback, that you could get in the last kind of pack of characters.
And that's a superstar pack. So that includes Ryback, AJ Lee, Cesaro. And they're set to release another pack in January. So just endless hours of activity.
So what would you say would be your criticisms of the game if you came across any? I will say from the limited time I got to play, I got to say I hated Inferno Match. It was really frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, you've got to do this thing where you can get them against the ropes, and then you've got to, like, kick him into the flames, but they give you this weird, like...
There's a red bar, where, and you're supposed to time it so that your cursor lands in the red bar. Your moving cursor lands in the red bar right at the specific time.
This is the most frustrating thing.
And you have to do it multiple times, and this is the same way how you eliminate people, or one of the ways you eliminate people in the Royal Rumble as well.
Oh, God.
And when I first had to do this, I was like, how the fuck do I do this? This is impossible. This is so hard. It takes some getting used to, and eventually you get to do it. It's still very difficult, though. Sean McCormick, who is an avid gamer, a colleague of ours, says, nah, it's easy. It's so easy. So maybe it's just us that can't do this.
Well, maybe.
Well.
I found this annoying. We did the worst Inferno match of all time. It was David Otunga versus Santino Marella.
Yeah.
In like a 20-minute Inferno match, which was just spent trying to figure this thing out.
And for some reason, David Otunga won't catch on fire, and I'm thinking it's because of the grease on his body.
Yeah, or he's just allergic to heat.
Maybe. Oh, there you go. Some of my other issues, that was definitely one of them, the learning curve to do with that. One of my issues with the Attitude Era was that some of the matches get a little bit repetitive because you're Steve Austin, and in those storylines, you're fighting the same guys a lot.
Sure.
You know, you're fighting. And I blame that more on the booking and you know, more so than, the video game itself, right? So that's really, you know, at some times, it eventually gets to become a bit of a chore to play through some of it. But overall, it's a lot of fun. I will say my other criticism was that the audio was a little jumpy. Oh, one other thing. In the Attitude Era, they would actually take real audio from the actual matches themselves and use them in the matches. And so you would get, comments like, you would even get like guest announcers, like Connor, like Road Dogg would jump in on guest commentary at one point, and it would be directly lifted off of the videotape, and that was done really well. But it was quite jumpy. After the matches end, for some reason the audio would just become quite louder and become very distorted. So I think that was like a bit of a bug or something. And also they have this new camera cut feature in between moves where you would execute a big move and then it would kind of jump to like a different camera shot, and it was very, at least on the Xbox version, very jumpy. Like it would stay on a shot for like half a second and then it would cut back, and it was just very disorientating. So every time I played the game, I would just have to turn that off. That was a little annoying. But overall, I was very impressed, man. Like it's easy to impress me, though. Like, having not played video games for 10 years, just to kind of step into all this new technology. Just the amount of detail that they focus on this game, though. Like, the controls vibrate on a table break, which probably doesn't sound like much to anybody who's a big video gamer, but.
The Rumble Pack feature.
Yeah, the Rumble Pack feature. As John mentioned, there's the Sin Cara lighting they have for every Sin Cara match. There's even the Kane lighting for all the old school Kane matches. They have these things called Oh My God moments that are also a new feature in this game now.
Oh My God or OMG moments?
OMG moments, I'm sorry. Where you can do big things that are related to the environment of the... I sound like I'm doing Brian's job. I sound like I'm a shill for this video game. I've never been so positive for a review before. But basically...
Don't worry, we'll get back to that next week.
But basically, you can do things like you can break people through a barricade, or you can do... you can break the ring. If you have two... They're incredibly specific. You got to have two super heavyweights on the top corner. You got to have three finishers loaded up. And then you have to... superplex them somehow, and the ring breaks and the match ends. Also, there are catch finishers now, meaning you can be like Randy Orton, you can Shawn Michaels, you can catch people with a super kick or an RKO in midair. And also, you can't hit women. You can't even be in a match with a woman, but like, let's say you're a manager in a woman's match, you lay a hand on a woman or even Irish whip them, you're gonna get DQ'd.
And really?
Yeah. The match ends.
That's interesting.
The match just ends.
What about blood in the? Is there any blood in this game?
Yeah, it's an option to turn on and off.
Okay, well that's good.
In fact, one of the Attitude Era matches is a first blood match. So.
Oh, of course.
That Austin
right.
K match.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, you can turn that on and off. Overall, my rating, man, I just had so much fun playing this game.
All right. I don't feel I'm qualified to give it a rating out of 10, but what are you going to give it?
I got to give this a 9 out of 10.
All right. So if someone wants this game for Christmas, Wei Ting would recommend it.
Absolutely.
So there you go. By the end of this show, we will think of a contest for next week, and maybe we can review it. Or should we?
Maybe I'll ask Brian. He knows this game in and out. Oh, actually, you shouldn't have to know this game in and out.
No, because if you have the game, yeah, winning the game probably isn't too much of an incentive.
We'll let him decide. It's his game.
Well, his suggestion is going to be to buy it at a store. That's the contest. Everyone go buy it. He would love the idea that the only way to enter the contest is to have the game, and therefore you have to go out and buy the game. All right.
We'll come up with something.
Okay. Well, let's go through feedback first, and then we'll get to Brian. So we'll break this up, because I know a lot of you had questions for Brian, which we have isolated, and we are going to ask those questions to Brian when he joins us. But let's get into the feedback, and we'll start off here with our first feedback from Dino. I like WWE 13. The game doesn't have its the game does have its share of glitches. Things like you remove a turnbuckle pad and it is removed in a different area. Smashing a guy through a table and having him levitate is a glitch, but a fun one. The Attitude Era mode was fun for anyone that lived through the era to go down memory lane. The fact China was not a part of the game made the DX stuff kind of funny if you knew her actual role in some matches that was missing. The Universe mode is better. As for the online stuff with Xbox, I'm not all that thrilled with the setup. I imagine that it is in response to problems from the past, but the fact that you can have six players in the Rumble and not select individual game modes is a problem. Overall, I like it more than the previous version, so for me, as a video game buyer, that is all I ever judge it by. Given that this had CM Punk on the cover, I would ask how much input the cover athlete has in the game production, if at all. I assume that is for Brian, he is asking.
We go next to Roger from Toronto, who says, I had the privilege to own WWE 13 the day it came out, and I must say it is my favorite wrestling video game, period. Going into it, I had high expectations with all the hype surrounding it, and in my opinion, it lived up to it. Though I do have a few questions. What is with all the weird glitches, such as the loss of limbs and being stuck in the same position for a long period of time? For WWE 14, okay, these are all questions for Brian. Maybe we'll get all this later.
Did you notice any glitches when you
were
playing?
Yeah, I did. Certain collision detection issues were still there. Like, one thing was really weird. I had Kane as a special guest ref, and then he got DQ'd. And then he all of a sudden sunk to the bottom of the ring, like, and his legs were at the apron. Like, his head was in the middle of the ring arguing against the ref, and his legs were, like, floating by the apron. That was a little odd.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brian Bennett. First of all, let me say this is the best wrestling game I've ever played, and maybe one of the best games I've ever played, period. A 10 out of 10 immediately. Growing up during the Attitude Era, I was having a fingergasm playing through the Attitude Era mode. I was curious how they could intertwine all the angles into different stories, such as playing as DX for a certain number of matches, then playing as Taker, etc. How did you decide... Okay. Should have really scanned this better. Glad you guys are reviewing this. Keep up the great work. I'm looking forward for a creator wrestler showdown on YouTube in the near future of John Pollock versus Wei Ting.
All right, this is an actual piece of feedback. Now,
okay.
We got a Doug Lyons who says, first of all, I had a lot of fun with this game. The catch finishers give it a cool new surprise element during gameplay, and some of the things I've done have been awesome. I like how at the end of the Attitude Era, it all came back full circle with attributing the Bret Hart versus Undertaker match from SummerSlam 97 as the beginning of the Attitude Era, which I think goes a bit further back to the spring of 97 when Paul Bearer came back and started to build what would be the debut of Kane. I enjoyed the bonus matches and the video clips as well. I haven't figured out how to make the ring collapse, but I'm getting there. The only problem I had with this game is the online gameplay. I don't know if it's a server or what, but I find it tends to have a big lag and has totally turned me off of online for a while. Overall, I give this game 8 out of 10. Not the best wrestling game I've played. I still believe that one is the 2002 SmackDown Shut Your Mouth. However, it's a really solid game. Yep. I just stopped myself before the question.
Alex Edwards. I'm enjoying WWE 13. It's pretty much just WWE 12 with a few tweaks, but it's fun to play and is great for killing time. The best part of the game is by far the Attitude Era mode. As I only started watching wrestling in 2002, it served as a bit of a history lesson and let me experience what a lot of people consider to be the best era of pro wrestling. Small things like the inclusion of a ratings chart tracking what WWF was doing against WCW at the time added some nice context, and overall it was a very fun mode to play through. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, as with a lot of games, there are quite a few glitches that you have to put up with. The most annoying has to be the one count glitch, which sees wrestlers no-selling finishers and other big moves all over the place, making some matches very unrealistic. Overall, I give it an 8.5 out of 10. It's fun for what it is, but there are a lot of improvements that could be made. The one count glitch. I guess he forgets the best spot of the first Davey Richards-Michael Elgin match from Showdown in the Sun, where Richards just hit him with some move, and Elgin just kicked out at one and fired up.
It's a Japanese spot.
Yeah, so there you go. Maybe it's not a glitch.
Maybe it's not a glitch. Alexander Rios from Miami. As far as WWE video games go, WWE 13 just might be one of, if not the best, since WWF No Mercy. And yes, I fully admit being biased because of Attitude Era mode. As far as this game goes, I've absolutely enjoyed it. Its controlling settings didn't change much from 12, so it still felt familiar. I haven't had much of a chance to play WWE Universe mode, yet between work and my kinda sorta girlfriend and stuff, but if it was written by Paul Heyman, then it is automatically better and more concise than the shit we see on TV. Now on to the Attitude Era mode, and I live it.
He lives it.
I don't know if he means... Yeah, okay. He lives it. To say it is fairly accurate is an understatement. From recreating the arenas, superstars, music, and even graphics, and Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler on call, you can tell this game had a lot of love given to it. You even had audio archives of McMahon, Austin, Foley, and The Rock from the actual time period. My only gripes, if any, were while playing the storyline, was the ratings graph between WCW and WWF. Why was this here? This is Attitude Era mode, not Monday Night Wars mode. And finally, the fact that the game storyline ended at WrestleMania 15, which is the halfway point of the Attitude Era, and in my opinion, outside of Steve Austin winning the WWF Championship, nothing from that show is all too memorable. Anyway, I love the game, and here's hoping WWF 14 carries the second half of the Attitude Era, because there's still so much to tell. So for a game that has yet to release its final downloadable content, I score this 9.5 out of 10.
Well, the fact that you said you spent 12 hours and got through three chapters, I would say that would be smart on their part to at least, I mean, that's a lot to pack into one game. And yeah, maybe that is the idea. They'll continue this.
Yeah.
Something past.
I would think so. My thinking was just, are they blowing too much of their wad too soon?
Yeah, I would argue if it ends in like mid-99, it makes sense that you would stop at a WrestleMania, which is typically your culmination. I mean, you could actually, I think, with the fact that they could get all the characters and everything, they could make an awesome invasion game.
Absolutely.
Do all, like, right the wrongs of, like, don't include any of the angles that they did at the time. And you could make, you don't even have to necessarily include ECW. That could be a future game down the road.
Yeah.
But an invasion game, I think, and you could incorporate so much stuff, I think that would really sell.
But then you get into issues with personality copyright. Like, for invasion storyline to work, you definitely would need to get Bischoff's likeness. And you would need guys like Hogan. You would need guys like
I don't know how that would necessarily work. Like, they used Hulk Hogan in the All-Stars game.
That's true. Kevin Nash is a unlockable character in this game, though, but he is a Legends contract.
Listen, obviously certain contracts would forbid people from signing with THQ, but if you are just Bill Goldberg sitting at home and you have the chance to get a royalty check for a video game, which is astronomical what some of these guys I've heard what they get just quarterly from these games. No one's turning that down if they are legally allowed to do so. Let's go to Eric from California, who might have one of the best GIFs attached to his profile, with Chris Jericho giving the code breaker to Shawn Michaels. Look at this. What a
bomb. A catch finisher.
Eric writes, WWE 13 is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but the ability to customize nearly everything in the game gives it so much replayability that it is hard to argue against its quality. I'm currently knee-deep in creating my own story and look forward to sharing creations with other Law Raw members. I know a lot of people have discussed the glitches, but after being a game tester for a few years, I can tell you that none of them threaten your ability to have fun, except for when you download the latest DLC and it wipes your universe customizations, a bug which is currently being worked on. All the game modes are excellent, even if it was far too easy to unlock anything in the game through a normal play, though. My son loves it and has become the first thing he asks to play when he earns PS3 time. That right there makes this game worth it, in my opinion. Overall, I feel this game will be remembered fondly in the future. However, from a fan standpoint, not a business standpoint, I do feel like it is time for THQ to step aside and let another team give it a shot. A lot of us want the WWE equivalent to Fire Pro, and maybe we'll get that with some new team at the helm. Hope you guys had fun with WWE 13.
Piece of feedback from Japanese Audio Wrestling co-host Chris Charlton, who actually has a full review of this game at his website, wheredoesgodzillapoop.com. So, wheredoesgodzillapoop.com/P=3300, if anyone is interested. In a nutshell, though, I found this Attitude Era mode to be a great antidote to the stale campaigns of years past, and the creation and sharing suite to be fantastic, but in-ring, Yuke's work is showing its age. Yuke's being the developer.
Yes, who previously owned New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Ah, interesting.
Vince from Vaughn, which is funny. It's a fun game with a lot of possibilities. I found the game rather difficult, as a regular match pretty much requires the ability to hit the very finicky reverse button. I haven't been able to truly explore the depths of this game, as my PS3 died mid-game. That's what I get for trying to prepare for review away. Oh, that's too bad.
Okay, a lot of questions here. Let's go to Kevin in Ireland, who says, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer here, but after renting this, I can't say I enjoyed it. The controls are sluggish, the animations and camera are incredibly difficult to follow, and the Attitude Era mode, while fun, seems like a ploy to sell the game to people that may have fallen out of favor with WWE over the last few years.
Is that a negative? They tried to market this so people would buy it. Come on, man. Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're going to go sell the fucking 1995 dream matches from WWF.
The only advantage of this game is that the Attitude Era roster means that my copy of No Mercy is relevant again. I know I'm going to sound like a gaming snob, but by dropping No Mercy in here, but I really enjoyed Here Comes the Pain back in the day, but none of the SmackDown/Raw vs. SmackDown/WWE games have even come close. Like the TV product, lack of competition has led to stagnation.
Well, that was certainly a Debbie Downer message. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kevin, though, for your feedback. Mike O'Brien. John, please explain to me which was more difficult a task to deal with, interviewing Rory McDonald and trying to be friendly with him, or trying to get through some of the post-Attitude Era challenges. I swear to God, Road Dogg versus Chris Jericho took me 1,000 tries. Overall, though, I like the game, and the Attitude Era mode is a friendly welcome, although I really hope they would go until WrestleMania 17 instead of stopping at 15. I like the game, but like every wrestling game, the novelty wears off, and it also presents glitches of its own. That being said, I enjoy the game time to time and give it 8 Pacquiao Marquez knockouts out of 10.
Corey Ferreira. I got WWE 13 on release day and really got stuck in the Attitude Era mode. It was great being able to play out them matches and angles in the game. The matches and angles in the game. It is reminiscent of WWF No Mercy for the N64. Props to THQ for the amount of classic wrestlers they put into the game this year. It's great being able to use the likes of Shamrock, the New Age Outlaws, Classic Kane, the McMahons, and the rest of the Attitude-based roster. While I have been playing the Universe mode, I still think it needs a little more work in the future. It was great having a stat system introduced this year, but it would be nice in the future to have a system to make feuds that doesn't rely on an ally-enemy system. As for gameplay, I really enjoyed the chain wrestling aspect in the game this year, and the ability to reverse pinfalls and trade roll-ups back and forth.
We go to J.M. Templeton. I haven't really played any wrestling games, or many other video games for that matter, since I was obsessed with WrestleMania 2000 for N64 at the age of 14. My old roommate got some WWE game in 07, but I didn't really like it. I would just let him beat all the computer opponents and then attack him from behind and win. I recently bought a few games to pass the time after my girlfriend moved away, and thanks to WWE 13, I hardly miss her at all. I think it's a great game. I figured I'd have a hard time mastering the gameplay as I've been away from the video game scene for so long, but I found the controls rather intuitive and easy to remember. The Attitude Era is the best part of the game, and going through that has inspired me to listen to your guys' reviews of Attitude Era shows in chronological order. Thanks to Gonzo for sorting that out. I must say, as you guys have posted on previous podcasts, it's quite odd to hear you talk about coffee in 2009 and then hear a discussion about recycling in 2012 right after. Well, if we were doing a contest for best feedback of the week, that was certainly it.
Yeah.
I hardly miss her at all.
But we're not doing a contest for best feedback.
I said if.
Oh.
If.
Okay.
We go to our next piece of feedback, who says, I enjoyed WWE 13 a lot. It was a drastic improvement over WWE 12, which itself was considerably better than SmackDown vs. Raw 11. Attitude Mode was a lot of fun, taking the best parts of Road to WrestleMania and Legends of WrestleMania gameplay. The Legends game was great nostalgia, but felt like a chore to get through at times. Using the action checklist as an optional extra for a storyline mode was a great way to keep things flowing, but also add replay value. My question is regarding Universe Mode. Every year we're told that Universe is a replacement for the old Career Mode, and that you can play out a career of one or more superstars with randomly generated storylines. This year we were even promised 200 storylines written by Paul Heyman. Maybe I'm not playing it right, but I rarely get more than a quick pre-match attack or ref bump. This game is worth buying for Attitude Era mode and the customization features, but Universe as a game mode feels lacking. Is there any chance of reverting back to career mode as it used to be pre-Universe / Road to WrestleMania?
Is there a way?
Well, let me tell you. I
don't know. Chris from Rockland finishes off the feedback. Hey guys, just wanted to say that I think WWE 13 is a fantastic game. I'd say 9 out of 10 and by far the best wrestling game I've ever played, even including the revolutionary TNA game. Kidding, of course. The Attitude Era mode is fantastic, and I love the situations they put you in. I love that feature in the NBA 2K games, and I'm wondering if that's where they got their inspiration from. So thank you everyone to your feedback. A good amount of people that have played this game. It's only been out since October 30th, mm-hmm. so under 2 months. So a game that I think has done fairly well for the – and something – it felt like there was a good amount of freshness to this with the Attitude Era marketing behind it and really pushing this to we should ask Brian about this, about putting Punk on the cover. I think that more directly markets to the audience more likely to buy this than if you just say threw Cena on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Orton was on the cover last year. I think Punk is certainly better suited for this audience.
We've said that a lot, this review.
About what, Punk?
No, let's ask Brian.
Oh, let's ask Brian. Well, in that case, let's ask Brian. We are back here. We have just finished our review of WWE 13, and now as we get into the nuts and bolts of just creating this video game, joining us here on the line is a senior designer with THQ and one of the men behind the WWE 13, Brian Williams, joining us. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great, and WWE 13 is the entire topic we are covering here on today's show. We have a ton of listener questions and some of our own as well, and I guess we'll just start, Brian, with kind of a big picture look at this game and kind of how you guys go in seasons as well. I mean, is it really the release of one game almost leads to the beginning stages of next year's release? Tell us just a bit about the time period of what goes into what is the finished product in WWE 13 when it came out October 30th.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, I really can't speak on, you know, any future games that we might be putting out, but what I can tell you is that when we finished up, you know, WWE 12, we actually began work on WWE 13, I will say, you know, roughly three quarters of the way through the completion of WWE 12. So, you know, we're always never at a loss for things to do around here at THQ. We're constantly, you know, trying to innovate and put out a quality WWE title. So it's, to that regard, you know, there's no time off, just like it is in professional wrestling. You know, we gotta keep, to the grindstone. But, I gotta say, you know, I worked on a lot of these games and, I had a tremendous amount of fun, working on WWE 13 and I'm very happy with how it's turned out.
Now, when it comes to the final product and when it comes out, obviously, you know, you guys at THQ, I'm sure you are monitoring tons of feedback from people that have played the game and such, but is it almost impossible that when the game is done that you can even look at it at an objective point of view when this is pretty much what you guys are living and breathing for that entire time period, that by the time the game is out, it's really hard to just say, knowing what the feedback is going to be?
Yeah, that's definitely a truism right there. I mean, we're definitely biased, and you know, like you said, we spend so much of our time and our effort into completing each game. It takes a while to really kind of divorce yourself from it and sit back and kind of be able to look at it objectively. But I'm getting to that point personally myself. It always takes me, you know, a period of time to come down from the high of releasing each title.
Sure.
But I think I'm getting to that point now where I can look at, you know, the game objectively and figure out what we did right, what we did wrong, areas we need to improve on, and so on and so forth. But, you know, overall, though, you know, I'm extremely happy with how, you know, WWE 13 came out. I think it's a market improvement of what we did in WWE 12, just in terms of, you know, the single-player campaign, you know, us going away from the Road to WrestleMania mode and bringing fans, you know, the all-new Attitude Era mode, as well as just, I think, gameplay is more responsive. It's a tighter, more fluid experience, definitely less buggy than WWE 12. So, yeah, I'm really proud and happy with all the work that everyone on the team accomplished this year.
The Attitude Era definitely seems to be the crowning jewel of this year's edition. Can you talk about what led to that concept first being introduced and, you know, just how it began to get developed?
Yeah, well, you know, when we started work on WWE 13, you know, again, you know, we look at the predecessor, you know, WWE 12, and we kind of figure out, okay, well, where did we go right and where did we go wrong with that single-player campaign, which was Road to WrestleMania? And the mode wasn't as well received as we would have liked. So when we started, you know, pre-production on W13, you know, all of us, all the designers got together, you know, we brainstorm meetings and, you know, we started to, you know, throw out ideas of how we could improve Road to WrestleMania. But it kind of got to the point where you could tell that a lot of the guys on the team just thought that a change was needed and a new course was needed for W13. And it was my boss, Corey Ledesma, who actually proposed the idea of us revisiting the Attitude Era and possibly creating a single-player campaign revolving around that. Seeing as how it was such a highly regarded time period, and not only WWE, but and you know within all of professional wrestling. And once that idea was out there, you know everybody, you know all the creative energy started bubbling over, and you know we have what you have in W13, which is this, you know, kind of retrospective, you know, overview of the Attitude Era, and being able to, you know, take the controller and recreate an experience through gameplay, all the, you know, crazy and monumental ups and downs that occurred during the Attitude Era. So it was fun, and obviously, you know, I became a fan during the Attitude Era, so I was definitely on board with us going this route.
Now, how did the internally the company respond when you guys proposed this idea to them?
Well, you know, I think once we... You know, you mentioned the Attitude Era to anybody that's a fan of wrestling, and their eyes automatically light up. So, you know, once we, broke forth with the news of where we were going to go for a single-player campaign, everybody was on board. You know, marketing, all the higher-ups, they thought it was a great idea. So we didn't get any pushback as far as us revisiting this time period in WWE's history.
Now, something I always find really intriguing is, of course, when you decide the performer that you're really going to market this around. Last year, Randy Orton was kind of central to the marketing. This year, it was CM Punk. And he, to me, is a character that, to me, is best suited for this kind of audience. Ones that have maybe a lot of ties and hold the Attitude Era in a certain regard. And CM Punk is kind of almost a byproduct of that era to a lot of people. Can you tell us a bit about the decision-making process in going with CM Punk, because that seems to be a character that really does strike a chord that would be your kind of core consumer of a video game like this?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, we've got to make these decisions, you know, fairly, you know, early during production as far as who's gonna, you know, grace the cover of each year's game. And you know, CM Punk had an incredible last year. I mean, that infamous, you know, promo that he did, pretty much cutting WWE to shreds. You know, just kind of really catapulted him to the forefront, and luckily for us, you know, he's been able to maintain that enthusiasm and his energy and his place sitting atop the WWE. I mean, he's still right now, you know, the WWE champion,
mm-hmm.
Going at 390 some odd days, I believe it is.
Yes.
So, yeah, he was. You know, you're right. Like when you look at CM Punk, like he's someone that embodies the current attitude within the current WWE landscape. So, you know, with us revisiting the Attitude Era from many years ago and then having the face of the almost like a new attitude with the newer crop of superstars in WWE, I think it was just a great juxtaposition of, you know, where WWE was and where they're going with guys like CM Punk, Dolph Ziggler, Ryback. So I think he was a great addition. And, you know, I'm just happy that not only is he still the champion, he's still main event, and he's still, you know, the guy in the WWE. So him gracing the cover of this year's title was definitely turned out fantastic for us.
Punk's been very public about the company, the WWE, not wanting him to be the face of this of the video game, and he didn't name who else it would be. But we can only assume that it would be John Cena or somebody like him. Can you talk a little about that? Maybe a bit of a struggle between THQ and the WWE to get CM Punk on the cover?
Oh, there was no struggle at all. Not at all. You know, when we proposed them our idea of putting CM Punk on the cover, they were as cool with the decision as we were to present it to them. So there was definitely no pushback from the WWE in that regard. Plus, you know, you got to say, I mean, John Cena, he's been on our cover a couple of different times. So, you know, he still gets his shine. You know, believe that.
No, I don't think anyone is worried about John Cena and his focal point. Someone obviously very much tied to CM Punk is Paul Heyman, and that had a lot of interest early on when Paul Heyman was going to be working with kind of the storyline aspects of the game. Can you touch a bit upon what Paul Heyman's role was, whether directly or indirectly here with the kind of the storytelling within the game?
Yeah, of course. You know, we were so lucky to get, you know, the involvement of Paul Heyman. He helped us out tremendously in crafting and putting together storyline ideas for our the other mode in our game, which is very popular, which is WWE Universe Mode. For those that don't know, Universe Mode is essentially, it's an exhibition mode with GM mode-like tendencies and functionality. It's exhibition with a purpose. You know, your wins and your losses matter. Storylines are, you know, organically generated based on how you perform in the match. And then to that end, you know, we have cutscenes that support these you know, high fidelity storylines, you know, heel face turns, and whatnot. And Paul Heyman, gave us a bunch of cool storyline ideas that we then took and created these really cool elaborate cutscenes around and implemented them within this universe mode. So, you know, when people are done playing the Attitude Era, they, from what I gather, you know, speaking to fans and looking at message boards, you know, once people are done with the Attitude Era, they spend a majority of their time in Universe Mode because it's a mode that doesn't end. And it's unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what the AI is going to throw out at you as far as who you're going to be feuding with, who you're going to align with as far as, you know, allies and whatnot. And then being presented with these really cool cutscenes that occur mid-match or before a match, really just heightens in the gameplay experience and makes it something, you know, wholly unique from all the other modes in the game.
I want to talk about the play-by-play process and just the amount of detail you have in the game with Jerry the King Lawler, Michael Cole, and Jim Ross in there. Even going as far as taking the actual audio from the videotapes themselves. Was there any difficulty in your team digging up all these little clips and placing them in the right places? And did you have to get any people to revoice their lines?
It was a combination of both. You know, talking specifically about the Attitude Era, you know, we did about, it was about a 60-40 split of us. 40% of that content, you know, commentary and other, you know, commentary-related elements came directly from, you know, programming, past programming. We were able to pull those audio stems from those broadcasts, from those events, and include them within the game. And then on the other half, you know, 60% of it was us basically re-recording a lot of what had had occurred back, you know, in the late 90s when the Attitude Era was in, you know, fruition. So we did, you know, a little bit of both. As far as the in-game commentary is concerned, you know, outside of Attitude Era mode, you know, we record the guys, you know, we travel with them, you know, on their off days, you know, when they're not, you know, recording Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-view, you know, they find it in their time to sit down with us and record their lines. It's always it's kind of a stressful endeavor because of just how busy these guys are, you know, and trying to, you know, get the content that we need in a timely fashion while at the same time, you know, trying to be respectful to their schedule. But at the end of the day, you know, they're great to work with. They're great partners. The WWE is a great partner all around, and they really, over the years, you know, really, you know, they present themselves and they, you know, they give their time to us so we can get what we need from them. So it's always a stressful, you know, time period trying to get everything, but at the same time, you know, we do get everything that we need, and, you know, it comes together beautifully.
Now, within wrestling, obviously, there is no off-season. There is no time to ever kind of, you know, you have a start and end point necessarily. There are characters being introduced on a weekly basis. And for you guys, you've got to, obviously, and I'm sure you get this question every interview, you have to have that hard deadline. And, you know, you never know when a guy's going to suddenly catch fire after that drop dead date. Is there that one specific date where it's just, this is our cutoff in terms of characters that we can put into the game? And then, of course, you do have the luxury of having the downloadable characters, but I'm sure every year that's a tough process because you've got your drop dead date, which is obviously a while before the release date.
Yeah. Oh man. You're dead on with that. You know, yeah, the WWE is, they're always in motion. There's always things going on. We do our best to keep up. Because, you know, honestly, you know, when developments happen, you know, we basically, we're not given any, you know, insider information. You know, we have to watch programming. I mean, we watch it just like any fan would. And as far as, you know, like a drop dead date, you know, honestly, it depends, you know, year to year. You know, obviously when it comes to, you know, adding new models, new characters into the game, you know, we try to push that back as far as we can. But at the end of the day, you know, we do have to eventually kind of stop and put a cut to how, you know, when we can start, you know, adding guys and everything. You know, Ryback was a really good example of that.
Sure.
You know, this is one instance where the WWE actually did give us a heads up. Before he had debuted on television, you know, he was doing his house show matches and everything, getting ready for TV. And they had told us that, you know, they're really going to, you know, put the machine behind this guy. So he was actually one of our DLC offerings, which is actually out right now. Ryback is available for DLC right now for download. But yeah, as far as like a drop dead date, it just depends. You know, generally speaking, it's maybe a month after WrestleMania is when we have to really kind of nail down the roster and kind of say, okay, this is who's in, this is who's out. And like you mentioned, you know, DLC is a godsend for us because it allows us, you know, just the opportunity and the flexibility to remain current with the WWE product, you know, after we've wrapped up, you know, finishing up everything that needs to be put on the disc. We can then focus our energies on trying to, you know, extend the length of the game by, you know, by offering players, you know, new superstars and new content to keep them playing year over year. So, yeah, DLC is a godsend for us. It really, really is.
When we said we were having you on the show, Brian, we were sent a ton of questions, so we'll try and just do these rapid fire, as many as we can fit in here for you. So,
the
downloadable characters are a good segue because that was our first question about any future downloadable characters, specifically listing the Shield or Fandango, who is taking on a life of his own on television.
Fandango. We do have new. Well, we just released our second DLC pack. I believe it was a week or 2 weeks ago. It's hard to keep track. And within that, you know, like I mentioned, players can download Ryback. AJ was a part of that DLC. Tensai, Yoshitatsu, Natalya, Drew McIntyre, to complete your 3MB ensemble.
Of course.
Undertaker, Ministry of Darkness was also made available as an alternate attire, and that's free, by the way. And we also offered 10 new championship titles. We will be offering another DLC pack in January. The date is to be determined at the moment, but fans can definitely be on the lookout for that. But unfortunately, the Shield is not going to be a part of that group. As much as it pains me to say, I personally love to have the Shield be available as DLC. I love all three of those guys so far. But I just have to wait and see what we do in the future.
They might attack you guys and call this an injustice, Brian.
I know they might storm my cubicle and do a triple power bomb on me.
There you go.
One listener wants to know, with CM Punk on the cover, he wants to know how much input the cover athlete has in the game production, if at all. I know in other sports franchises like Madden, NBA 2K13, and others, the cover athletes usually offer some input in the process. Is this the case with WWE wrestlers and THQ?
Well, you know, he's definitely, you know, he's attended quite a bit of our PR events. You know, he's played the game himself. You know, he's given us his feedback on the game. But as far as any, like, actual, you know, feedback as far as how he wants his character to be presented, whether it's his moves or anything of that nature, no, not really. He kind of leaves that to us And I think we did a fantastic job, you know, capturing his likeness and his personality within the game. I mean, these guys are just so busy, you know, just dealing with the day-to-days of their own lives, you know, with all the travel that they do. It's kind of hard for them to really sit down with us and provide that you know, in-depth amount of feedback. But I do know that I've seen him play the game a couple of times at some of our events, and he's been stoked. I mean, obviously, you know, being on the cover of the game is a huge honor. And, you know, he's even, I think he uses that picture on his Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. I think he uses his cover art.
Yes.
As his Twitter picture.
A bunch of people sent in just feedback regarding, you know, certain glitches they find that are pretty much unavoidable in any game you play. When you guys discover these, is it a case of it's news to you once you get feedback? Is it you guys are aware and it's hopefully a future patch can solve those glitches? What is the process when it comes to glitches that are found after the release?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, when we ship a game, I mean, we have to, I mean, every year, you know, we do the best that we can to ship a game that's as bug-free as possible. I can't sit here and say that we'll ever be able to ship a game that's completely bug-free. I don't think any developer can say that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, when we do submit, you know, there are some bugs and issues that are known. But at the same time, a lot of the issues that the fans, you know, will bring to our attention are things that were either missed through the bug testing phase, or, you know, simply kind of fell on the radar. And to that end, you know, we do our best to try to, you know, put out a patch to remedy a lot of these issues. We actually just released a patch about a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and we may be doing one in the future as well. Not sure exactly if that's going to happen, but, you know, we definitely, I mean, if there's anything that we can do, I mean, the fans' input is a blessing to us, you know. There's definitely a lot of things that they bring to our attention that we aren't aware of that if given an opportunity, either via patch or maybe in a future game, you know, we take that information and we try to, you know, apply that to as far as bug fixing or anything else in that manner that goes to make sure that we, you know, we have a game that is enjoyable to play and that's something that where the bugs don't get in the way. So that's very important to us.
With the success of the Attitude Era, are you thinking of sticking with that for WWF 14?
And, you know, we can't divulge all of our secrets, you know, or what our future plans are. All I can say is that, you know, Attitude Era was definitely a huge success for us. So,
Take that as you will.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. This question is awesome, Brian. I laughed out loud when I read this. This is,
I can't wait.
To me, a diehard wrestling video game question, which hopefully you have not been asked. He says, I love the old school arenas, but why could you not make the aisles sideways like they were in real life instead of straight like they were in the game? Maybe I'm a stickler, but I'm just curious. I'm no game designer, but it doesn't seem like a big deal to be put in. Why no sideways aisles, Brian? Amazing.
Wow, yeah, I can honestly say I've never been asked this question before.
Well, there you go. There's a first.
There's a first. You guys, you've got me. You've stumped me.
Wow.
Maybe
that'll be the theme of WWE 14. Horizontal theme to everything.
There you go. Back in the box feature. I'm stumped.
There you go.
Yeah, this guy is definitely observant. I give him that.
Wow.
But I will say, you know, when it comes to creating arenas, like, that's definitely one of just the modeler cost involved with that is very high. And by cost, I don't mean, you know, money per se, but just time, you know.
It's sure.
One of the costliest things that we have to create each and every year. But, I honestly don't have a good answer for him. I really apologize.
Well, if there is a sideways aisle in WWE 14, we know where its genesis was.
I'm writing this down right now as we speak. I'm taking this with me.
A number of listeners want to know what the future is for the WWE All-Stars game and if there are any ideas to go more in that arcade direction in the future.
All-Stars was a great game. It was fun to play. I actually did not work on All-Stars, and I have no knowledge or involvement within that game. So I don't know the answer to that. You know, emphasis and priority working here at THQ is on the WWE 13 SmackDown versus Raw side of games. So I'm not sure what the future will be for All-Stars.
Okay, we have a question here regarding Universe Mode. And the person writes, every year we're told that Universe is a replacement for the old Career Mode and that you can play out a career of one or more superstars with randomly generated storylines. This year, we were even promised 200 storylines written by Paul Heyman. And this listener writes that perhaps he's not playing it right, but he rarely can get more than a quick pre-match attack or ref bump. And he says, this game is worth buying for Attitude Mode alone. But he says, Universe as a game mode feels that is lacking. Is there any chance of reverting back? Is he having issues here with the Universe Mode? I'm not as familiar with this this problem, Brian.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I can think of, I'm glad he's like an Attitude Era for one. But I do know that in Universe Mode, if you re-edit the match card that the AI creates for you, it will negate a lot of the storylines and cutscenes that you'll see. Not entirely, but the AI is building these match cards in a way that it'll present you with the storylines, the cutscenes, and the in-game events that'll happen. So that's one of the things that one of the systems in place that we have to manage, because we want to give players the ability to, you know, to customize a match card if they don't like what the AI is doing for them. But at the same time, the AI is creating that match card for a purpose and for a reason, which is to facilitate the use of these storylines. So that could be what he's experiencing.
I got one last question just for myself. Who did you model the referee after? Because it kind of looks like Charles Robinson, but not really.
He's a creation of our own. We use a generic referee for the past couple of games. For whatever reason, I don't think the WWE wanted us to model one of their own referees, so we kind of created this amalgamation of different refs. He definitely has that Charles Robinson look to him, but he isn't. He's kind of just the THQ's generic version of a WWE referee.
Wow. The burning questions here of video gamers out there. And my final question here, Brian, before we let you go, and thank you very much for this time, is an interesting story that has come out is regarding another title, and that was the latest UFC game that came out. And there's currently a pending lawsuit from a tattoo artist over a Carlos Condit and a tattoo he has being used in the game. And is this something that, I mean, the outcome of this could drastically affect future releases when it comes to tattoo art? It's something I'm sure you don't think of when you're designing these characters to look as realistic as possible. And now this is it's kind of an interesting story to follow on your end.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. But again, you know, my knowledge of this situation is probably the same as yours. I mean, I got an email about it, but, you know, I never worked on the UFC game, so I'm not even familiar with this tattoo. But, yeah, I mean, that's something that we're just going to leave to, you know, the legal department to take care of. You know, I'm just a lowly game designer here plugging away in the WWE universe or WWE side of things. So I really have no knowledge of that situation.
Well, we will let you now get back to your cave labeled WWE 14 in development. And I'm sure...
Your word is not mine.
Yes. Allegedly, of course. But Brian, I want to thank you very much. WWE 13, it's available now. The feedback we got, people calling it the best game they have ever played. Very high praise, in particular for the Attitude Era mode as well. So I think you guys getting a thumbs up for this game. So thank you very much for joining us. And is there anything, if you have the game, any future downloadable characters, anything you would like to promote in addition to the game being available now in this holiday season?
I do have some things I'd like to promote. My PR, you know, boss would have my head if I didn't make mention of some things. We will have, I mentioned already, but DLC, another pack, will be made available in January. That'll include 25 new moves, as well as Damian Sandow and some other superstars, the Usos. We also have some holiday pricing specials that are going on right now, if I might throw those out there.
Sure.
December 7th through December 21st, you can get $10 off WWE 13 at all Best Buys out there in Canada. So if you don't have the game or if you're looking to pick the game up as a gift, now would be the time to do that. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just want to say thanks for having me on. Thanks for, you know, all the feedback that we've been getting from the fans has been fantastic. And And not just the good feedback, we listen to all the feedback, good, you know, negative. We take it all in to try to make the game that the fans want to play. So thanks again for having me on the air, and happy holidays to you guys.
No, well, same to you, Brian. A well-done job on the game, and thanks so much for kind of taking us into the inner workings of WWE 13. And if there is ever a future game, we would love to have you on to discuss the hypothetical game that who knows if it is in the works or not.
And I would love to be back on, hypothetically speaking.
All right, so a big thank you to Brian Williams. Go buy WWE 13, I guess. And if you can't buy it, we teased it earlier. We are doing a contest. We have gotten a few copies of WWE 13 to give out. One of those copies will be given out on the December 23rd edition of The Law, which is our annual best of show, where if you are new to things, myself, Dan Lavransky, and Jason Agnew, we are going to run through all of our major categories of the best of the year. And then conversely, on December 30th, the worst of the year. And way we have come up with a contest to give away a copy of WWE 13 on this show. We are going to give it away in 2 weeks from now. So we're leaving you a decent window to enter this contest and really give it some thought.
This is this is a big prize, and it's a great game. So we want you guys to do a bit of work for it. We are asking you guys to make a 30-second video commercial for our podcast, for Review Away. So in 30 seconds time, tell people what we're about, why they should listen to us, and do it in a way that, you know, hopefully...
Just all we want is for you to entertain us. We are not going to be sticklers on lighting and production.
No.
Don't worry.
Many of the best commercials don't feature the highest budgets.
Some of the best are terrible production.
So just be creative.
That's what we want. Creative.
Creative. Upload it to YouTube. Some of you guys don't have cameras. Just, you know, use your cell phones, and, you know, don't worry so much about all that stuff. We're looking for creativity here.
Keep it to 30 seconds or less, just so everyone kind of has the same time. And to be honest, if you go over that, you risk it dragging. So 30 seconds or less.
Approximately 30 seconds. Maybe, you know, not too brief, not too long.
You're not disqualified if it's 35 seconds.
Yeah. Upload it to YouTube or Vimeo, where have you, and post it on our message board, Law
Radio.
Yeah,
we're going to create an announcement that'll be stickied for the next 2 weeks where you can post the link, and then me and Wei are going to judge all of them 2 weeks from now. The best commercial will win the WWE 13 video game, and we will have some secondary prizes should there be some overwhelming candidates.
That's lawradio.proboards.com.
Oh, so there we go. I didn't even think of that. You have to join the message board.
No.
There you go.
There you are.
Imagine that. That sounds like a sneaky marketing ploy on our behalf to get people to join. That is a contest. I'm looking forward to this. That announcement will be posted up on the Law message board. And looking ahead to next week, Wei, a very significant retirement announced earlier this week at Sumo Hall, and that is going to be the theme of our review for next week as we go back to October the 1st of 2005.
Yes, and what happened on that day?
That was probably the most famous match in Ring of Honor history, as Samoa Joe took on Kenta Kobashi, as ROH and Noah collided at the Manhattan Center. Very well-remembered match. And with Kenta Kobashi just announcing his retirement at Sumo Hall for the Pro Wrestling Noah event, we thought, what better time than to review this match, a match that we have not reviewed on this podcast. So next week, it's going to be a Ring of Honor-themed review, and maybe a guest or two will join us next week, because I think this is a very well-remembered match, and hopefully enough people out there have seen the match. You can leave feedback, at least on the match, if you have not seen the whole event. We are going to watch the entire show, and this should be an interesting one. A main event way that when they released on DVD, no commentary was put on it.
Yes, yes. And in a rare week, a match that I've seen that you haven't.
Yes, I have not seen this match, amazingly. So that's going to be our review for next week. And, of course, we will be taking feedback on that, which we will post up on the Law message board. And in the meantime, you can go to liveaudiowrestling.com, follow Wei at Wei0937, maybe ask him some tips on putting together a 30-second commercial. And you can follow me at Law Radio. And we will be back with more this week, Review and Impact, The Law, tons of stuff coming your way, and we will chat with you next week. And as we go out here, Wei, we need a song.
You pick.
Oh, I pick. Well, let's go out with, oh, geez, what should we go out with? Well, we just reviewed WWE 13. So let's go out with the music to WCW NWO World Tour. The menu music when you turn the game on. Everyone remembers this. Classic World Tour.
The menu music. I'm sure you'll find that.